gave him a prison which he expects becomes guilty of the serious type of usury. Okay? Shafa'a, if I could, you go before the ruler, the emir, or the chief of the tribe, and you ask him, forgive this man, or give him his property back, or whatever it is, that you try to intercede, not for breaking the orders of Allah, but to try to go to somebody who is in a higher authority, asking him to be kind to this man, or to be good to him, or not to punish him unjustly, or whatever it is. This is your job as a Muslim towards your Muslim brother. And you are not supposed to do this except for the sake of Allah. If you did this, and your Muslim brother went and got you a gift, and you received it or you accepted, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you, indeed, you had dealt with usury, with entry. The scholars explain this hadith in two forms. One is that you go to the chief of the tribe or the person in authority and you intercede for your Muslim brother in something which is his right and he lost it. Okay? And the governor was supposed to give it to him back. But being as the unjust ruler or whatever his situation, not judging by the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now as a result of this, you go and you try to intercede and give the right of your Muslim brother back. And as a result of this, you give it back. Okay? Because if a person did a gift as a result of this, this is okay. But you shouldn't be looking up to goodness. But if you go to the ruler and you try to intercede to give something to your Muslim brother, which is not his right originally, and he gives you something as a reward for this, now you're involved in the usury. I.e. like, now I sold this commodity, and I know that it's not good. I sold this car, $10,000, and I know there's no transmission in it, okay? And they sold it as a car, it's good. And now, when the person bought it, okay, thank you, the car is not working. Okay? So now, he will go and complain about me to the judge. Okay? So I'll go to the judge, because he's my cousin, or that I know him, or whatever it is, and intercede for this man, and telling him, forget about it. Okay? Tell him that he bought it, and this is too late. Okay? So now I was trying to get you something which is not your right. Now this is wrong. As a result of this, now you're going to go and give me a gift. Okay? Because I talked to the judge, I let it fly. So now I'm indulging with usury. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe this will explain also something similar to this, and explain it more, that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, la'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Rashi wal-Murtashi, rawahu Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi wa Sahahu, and the hadith is sahih. That from Amr ibn al-As, Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed the one who bribed and the one who paid the bribe. Okay? Gives him $100, like you call it under the table. Alright? So he can get you this job. Everybody has to go and fill application. Everybody has to stand in a line. But you go and understand and you give your application, and inside the application is $100. Okay? So now he takes the application, sign up and say, everybody come tomorrow. But he called you in your heart to say, you got the job. He didn't get the job because he stood in the line because he gave application, but because the $100 was inside the application. Okay? Now, you as a giver of this, as well as the receiver, both of them are cursed by the Messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is haram, is not supposed to be done. Although the scholar who said, if a Muslim lost something which lawfully is his, and he could not get it except by doing this act by the person, he can do it and he has no sin in it, and the sin will be on the receiver. I left the property. It is my property, okay? And the only way for me to get this property, that I will go and give this judge some money, okay? Now, he will rule in my favor that the city was not supposed to take this property, or that the city is supposed to pay you back. And if you don't get this money from under the table, you are not getting your property back. So in this case, okay, you're trying only to save your rights. You're trying to get your rights. My family in other country. And for me to get a visa, I have to get this money. You see? So I have no choice. Otherwise, I'm never going to get to see my family. So now the wrong will be on the person who is here, isn't it? Not the person who is giving it. And inshallah, okay. We're going to stop here, inshallah, and we'll continue concerning usury and other things in this transaction next week, inshallah, at 7 o'clock. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
إن الحمد لله نحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is the only one worthy of praise and seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seer of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, here today, which is Tuesday, May 18, 1999, which is equivalent to the third of the second month, Safar, for the year 1420, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're recording here from Masjid al-Muslimin, Islamic Center of Columbia, South Carolina. And today, inshallah, this is our 8th class in the 4th album for the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. We have completed 3 albums, and we working on the 4th album of the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. And this is the 8th stage for this series, which we're still talking about Kitab al-Buyu', the book of business and transaction. And we're still dealing with the chapter related to usury or interest. And last of last, we had finished up to Hadith number 707. And today, inshallah, we're continuing from where we stopped last week. And in the book Bulugh al-Maram, page number 295, and the hadith number 708, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه اي عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم امره ان يجهز جيشا فنفدت الابل فامره ان ياخذ أن يأخذ على طلائف الصدقة. قال: فكنت آخذ البعير بالبعيرين إلى إبل الصدقة. رواه الحاكم والبيهقي ورجاله ثقات. This hadith which reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. And the hadith in the collection of the Imam al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 708. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ordered Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As to prepare the army. And as a result of this, that was not enough camels for preparation of the army, which is a camel they use it for means of transportation, carrying their goods, and even fighting while they mount over them. And with nothing left for him to prepare the army, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded him or instructed him to keep back the young camel for sadaqah. And he said, I was taking a camel to be replaced by 2 when the camels of Sadaqah came. So this shows us that this was exception, and this was instructed by the Imam or the leader or the Khalifa of the Islamic State. And this was a case which you may call it as exception for preparation of the army. And as a result of not being sufficient, now he was being instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to borrow a camel or to buy a camel to be replaced by 2 camels later on. Hadith number 709. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المزابنة أن يبيع ثمر حائطه إن كان نخلا بتمر كيلا وإن كان قرما أن يبيعه بزبيب كيلا وإن كان زرعا أن يبيعه بكيل طعام نهى عن ذلك كله متفق عليه. Here this hadith which is narrated by Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade al-mujabana. And he went more in detail to show some of this kind of transaction which is forbidden in Islam, and they call it al-mujabana. And one of these forms that to sell the fruit of his garden, which is consists of fresh palm dates, to exchange it with dry dates by measure, because now the date, number one of the items which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade to be exchanged or transact with a more, date by date, hand by hand, in the same spot. You could not give one measure of date for two measures of date from another kind. So now when you exchange, make transaction or to swap this by this, now the date that is still in the brown tree and still fresh is big in the size, okay? While the dry date, because now it's dry, there is no more water in it, is more smaller in the size. So if you measure the dry date, the measurement will hold more from dry date than taken from the fresh date, and this will be wrong. Although that given one measurement is one measurement, but the date that is fresh will take more size inside the container that you measure with it, therefore is not going to be equal. Okay? And also one of the forms of mujabana that to sell the grapes which is fresh with raisin, because the raisin is dry. Okay? And when it's dry, it shrinks, it gets smaller. So when you put it in the measurement, or when what you call measurement, the measure that you measure with, the measure will take a lot. And this will be different when you measure the fresh grape. And also, وإن كان زرعا أن يبيعه بكيل طعام. Okay? Or if it is corn, he sells it for a measure of corn. Okay? One is dry and one is fresh, or that one is ground, okay, like a flour, and one is not ground. So when there is a way to make the measurement is not to be even and equal from the same kind of food, you could not do this, because it will be exchange measurement with more, and this will be increase, which we call it riba, because we said that riba means to increase. Okay? So this is forbidden in Islam, and the hadith is authentic in the collection of the Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhim. The next hadith, which hadith number 710 in page number 295, وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسئل عن اشتراء الرطب بالتمر فقال أينقص الرطب إذا يبس؟ قالوا نعم، فنهى عن ذلك. رواه الخمسة وصححه. This hadith, which narrated by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been asked about buying dry dates for fresh ones. He replied, will fresh dates get diminished when they become dry? They answered, yes, so he forbade that. This hadith is authentic. So now you could not exchange or transact dates which is fresh with a dry date, because it will be a form of usury. And this hadith, as I said, is authentic, and in the collection of Al-Imam Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nisa'i, and Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim. So from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden to transact or to buy fresh dates, fresh dates with dry dates. Next hadith, which hadith number 711, and this hadith in page number 296. The hadith is da'if, is weak. Hadith number 711, which by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. The next chapter, chapter number 4, باب الرخصة في بيع العراية وبيع الأصول والثمار. Permission concerning the selling of العراية, which we're going to explain what is العراية, and the sale of trees and fruits. الأصول, which is the plural for the word أص, which means foundation or means root or original. And in this chapter relates to selling the trees, okay? Because the trees is the root and the foundation and the asl of whatever comes as a fruit, date, whatever it is comes out of it. وعن زيد, عن زيد بن يحيى. So you say like free from the clothes or free from haram, okay? And this is the general meaning in Arabic, but the meaning here in Islamic terminology, al-araya is the tree or the fruit on the tree which has been given by the owner for the poor and the needy. So people who own a garden or palm trees, whatever the type of trees they have, they will give it for, they give the fruit, not the root itself, not the tree itself, but give the half that will come out of this palm tree to the needy for a year or more. And as I said, we call it araya because it is free from a forbidden transaction. Now, when the owner who own this garden or this palm tree and he gave it as a free, like a donation to the poor people, to the poor people, because they don't have money, they don't have food, they don't have what to eat, they will be coming in and out on this property or in this land to eat from this tree, which will cause some kind of disturbance to the owner. Okay, they could not take the whole thing because they don't have something where to feed it or reserve it, and it may be spoiled in their possession. So they come to the tree to take what they need and go and come again and go, And this can be some kind of the servant to the landlord who had given him this food as donation. So now you could not actually measure what's on the tree. You have to wait until it be harvested, collected, and now you measure it, and now you can sell it. But as exception in this case, which is called al-araya, in this exception in case of the araya, when somebody had donated the fruit of his tree, so now Islam gives the permission of getting how much on the tree, and he can sell it and exchange it with somebody else. Okay, so you could not sell a fresh date with raisin. You could not sell what's in the tree, exchange it with other dates, because you don't know how much on the tree. But exception in this case, because the poor people, they don't own the trees. The owner of the trees donated the food that's on the trees. The poor people going to be in and out. Okay, whenever they feel the hunger, they have to be in to get some food and get out again, and all this in and out is disturbing. So in this case of donating the fruit from an owner of trees to a poor people, now the poor person can sell it to somebody by getting, or the person who's going to buy it can get how much on the top of the tree. Okay, so this is only exception in this case. In another narration of Imam Muslim, رخص في العرية يأخذها أهل البيت بخرسها ثمرة يأكلونها رطبا. He gave the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم permission regarding the العراية for its sale, in which the household buys its fruit on the basis of calculation. That means calculation means it guessing or assumption of what they thought would be when dry, yet they could eat them when fresh. Okay? So in this case, the person will look to the palm tree and he gets and say, I assume what it on the palm tree is about 10 pounds as a sample of date. Okay? Now he will exchange it with what? With a 10 pounds of date that can be handled to him right away immediately, and this will be acceptable in this case. In this also narration, or this version in the collection of the Imam Muslim, which is authentic. Now, the next hadith, which is hadith 713, will make exception also over this exception. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص في بيع العرايا بخرصها من الثمر فيما دون خمسة أوسق أو في خمسة أوسق. Okay, this hadith, which hadith number 713, page number 297, that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave permission regarding the sale of al-araya for a competition of their amount when dry, on condition that they be less than 5 also. Or amount to 5 awsaq. And the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic. And here gives you that the awsaq, which is a plural, and it shows you this is a little more than 8 quintals. In case of need, taking less than this quantity, try stay estimation is permitted. This grace is reserved for the general need. Okay, the araya here or the outlook is something like you say a measure, which is a measure thing to this. And the measure is about 60 sa'. 60 sa'. And the sa' is about 4 mud that you put your two hands together and fill them. So 4 times will be a sa'. So 60 sa' times 4, this is 240. So 240 of filling your two hands together. This is the maximum that you can utilize this case. So five out of 240 hands full of this. This is the maximum, or less than this it can be utilized. Other than this, if the guessing that the date in top of the tree is more than this, you could not be guessing it and you could not tell it in this case. So in this chapter we understand there is something called araya, which a donation being given by the owner to the poor people, and the poor person can sell this date, which is still on the tree, to the owner or to somebody else, exchange it with another date, and this will be as a matter of guessing. This is exception. Now the other hadith came to make another exception, that this has to be less than 5 outuk, or maximum to be 5 outuk. The next hadith, which hadith number 714, the same page 297, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيع الثمار حتى يبدو صلاحها. نهى البائع والمبتاع. متفق عليه. Okay. Although the buying and selling is lawful, and that fruit, vegetables, these things is lawful to buy and to sell, but it's still some other conditions, okay? And one of these conditions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade, the sale of fruits till they are ripe or ready, or clearly that is in good condition. And he had forbidden this for the buyer as well as the seller, okay? So a person could not sell the fruit, the wheat, the date, the grapes, until it shows that it had passed a stage that is not going to be spoiled, okay, that is ready and about to get ripe soon, or to be in a good condition to be utilized. And this is again, as I said, even if the buyer and the seller agree, still wrong. Although that the product that has been transacted is correct, which is food or vegetables, but still because it's not reached the stage that can determine that this fruit will be good or bad, so now in this condition you could not buy it, neither you could not, you can sell it. And the hadith is authentic, it is in the collection of Imam Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. And in another narration, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been asked about what determines that is good, he replied, till they were safe from defects or flight, like insects, what you call hubbard grass and other locusts and other things which can come and can destroy the fruit of the brother. More explanation to the hadith comes in hadith number 715, which reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع الثمار حتى تزهو. قيل وماذا هو؟ قال تحمار وتصفر. متفق عليه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid the sale of fruits till they become colorful. He was asked what that meant. He replied till they become reddish and yellowish. Okay. But this actually, it depends what kind of fruit we're talking about, because some fruit is not going to be red, as example, like grapes, okay? The green grapes or the white grapes doesn't go to be red. There is a red grape, okay? And there is the date, as example, which is yellow, okay? So basically, there is some kind of determination that this is fruit, and like in a week or two, now you're going to have to take it off the tree, or it's going to get overripe and it's going to be spoiled after this. So you have to see determination that this is fruit is good. Now the time that you can sell it, and this can be one of these indications, is the color, okay? Or the season, as example, which usually can get afflicted by insects or other things. And all these things also, like we're saying, that we see the concern of keeping the brotherhood and the sisterhood together, because these things which comes, or one of the main reasons that became to bring about boycotting Muslims each other and being argue and disputing one another, because dollar and money is so dear to the people, and when somebody pays his money for something that he felt that he'd been jibbed, or that he'd been deceived, or that he didn't get what he's supposed to get, it will bring about harshness and argument and debate among the Muslims. Hadith number 716, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه, that means from Anas ibn Malik again, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع العنب حتى يسود, وعن بيع الحب حتى يشتد, رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. So this hadith, which reported by Anas ibn Malik, and the hadith, the collection of Imam Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the sale of grapes till they become black. And as I said again, it depends what kind of grapes now. Okay, there is some grapes will turn red and turn black, some grapes they turn white and turn green, okay? So it depends what it is to determine that this fruit is good and is good to be sale. And also he forbade the sale of the grain till it becomes hard. Okay? The grain became ripe on the side. So basically, this will apply again to fruits, vegetables, whatever it is that you're stealing from this thing, that not to be any kind of confusion or misunderstanding or disagreement concerning what you're selling to your to the seller or to the buyer. Page number 298. And hadith number 717, وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو بعت من أخيك ثمرا فأصابته جائحة فلا يحل لك أن تأخذ منه شيئا بما تأخذ مال أخيك بغير حق. رواه مسلم. Again, this explained to us that the prohibition of taking the property of the Muslim without a just cause, and the property of the Muslim is sacred. And as a result of this, that if a person steals the product which is in the tree early, and after this being afflicted by insect, by freezing the weather, or by any kind of calamity or destruction, or being dry, no rain, anything will destroy the fruit or the vegetables, okay? So if something happened and while it still is not been given to the buyer, it is the responsibility of the seller, okay? And he's not supposed to take the money, and if he did, he has to return it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is forbidding this and saying, if you sell some fruit to your brother and it was smitten by flies, it would not be lawful for you to take anything from him. Why should you take your brother's property unjustly? Okay, and the hadith is the collection of the Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic. So again, also the Islam teaching us how that we be reasonable with each other, how we be considerate to the people, and that as long as the crop is still in your field and is still in your property, that you as a seller, this is your, you are in charge of it, and until you give it to the person in his hand, now this is your responsibility. You could not take his money. And if any destruction happened to the product, to the fruit or the vegetable, or whatever on the tree, that you need to return the money back to the buyer if he had given you the money. Hadith number 718 عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: him as well as his father. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال: من ابتاع نخلا بعد أن تؤبر. If any one of you buys a palm tree after it has been Hadith number 718. Fecundated means the palm tree, as we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in pair, male and female. So this in the insect, in the human being, in the fish, in the bird, otherwise it's not going to be what you call multiply. Is no way to multiply. So the same thing applies to the flowers, to the trees. And the palm tree, in actuality also, they have male and female in it. So they will take a certain part of the male tree, okay, they cut certain pieces, and they put it in the female palm tree, and they will tie it in it. And in other, they take something like from the tree and sprinkle over the female tree. Yeah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has made some of the flowers and the trees to be fecundated through the wind. Okay? And some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made by the insects and the bees and things like this. Okay? And this is also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his ability and this is one of the things that Allah has stated in the Quran to show you that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about the wind to be a means of to
pollinate,
you understand? There is no way. A man living in a desert, he doesn't, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stated this in the Quran. So if somebody goes bounty after already had been see and voted, so the fruit is belong to the seller. The fruit belongs to the seller, the owner of this tree. Okay? Now we are not talking about selling dates. You're selling the tree itself. Okay? But it's already been ta'bir made for it. Okay? So whatever fruit coming as a result of this year is belong to the seller. Except if the buyer made a condition and the seller agree, now he'll be the receiver of the fruit. And this hadith came here because we were talking, first the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. And this shows you that because the shepherd was talking about permissibility of buying araya, okay, and the root and the tree. Okay? So here a person will be selling the trees itself, not only what we were talking before, we were talking about buying the fruits or buying the dates. But this hadith is showing you, okay, buying the roots itself or the trees itself. Okay? So the fruit of it will be for this year belong to who? To the seller. But if he sell it before you see condition, that will be belong to the buyer. Okay? Except if an agreement been having between both of them. And from this we go to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5. Abwab al-Salam, Abwab al-Salmi wal-Qardi wal-Rahm, Chapter Payment in Advance and Loan and Rahm. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة وهم يسلكون في الثمار السنة والسنتين فقال من أسلف في ثمر فليسلك في كل معلوم ووزن معلوم إلى أجل معلوم متفق عليه وللبخاري من أسلف في شيء. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, this hadith number 719, page number 298. Narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinah, that means after he migrated from Mecca to Al-Madinah, they were staying 1 and 2 years in advance for food. Okay? Whosoever was there, okay, in Medina, regardless between the Muslims one another, the immigrants and the Ansar, or between the Ansar and the Ansar, or between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, but with some kind of transaction going. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, or he got to know, that they give money in advance, okay, or whatever they give as the price of the product for 1 year or 2 years in advance. Like he gave me 2 kilos or 2 measurements of flour, and in a year I will give you two measurements of grapes as example, okay? Or that you're going to give me 1 ounce of gold, something like this, okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't forbid them, but he corrected the transaction. So he continued this, he left this to continue that he can make payment in advance for probably receive later, but he instructed them or corrected to be what? He said, من أتلف في ثمر فليتلف في تال معلوم وعرض معلوم إلى أجل معلوم. So the Prophet said, whosoever pay in advance for fruit must do so for a specific measurement and wait for a specific time. So whatever you pay, whatever money that you pay, it has to be for a specific amount and specific weight, or and also the time involved, not to be something of confusion. Okay, I tell you 2 ounces of gold, and you said you're going to give me flour, but how much of flour? Yeah, I give you 2 ounces of gold, and we agree in two sa' as example of flour, but when? You see? So, it still you can pay in advance for a product that you receive it later, but it has to be specified and to be known if it's by weight or by measure and how much and when. And this is the collection of Al-Bukhari and Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, so it's authentic, and narration of Al-Bukhari, man aslaka fi shay. Okay? Those who pay in advance for anything. Alright? So this is not related to food. Now this is general. This will be what? General. So this can apply to a car, apply to a house, apply to whatever it is. It has to be, the period of time it has to be known, what you're giving, classification, specification, measure everything, not to be confusion in the time or the number of anything. Hadith number 720. Yes. If you accept this condition, because since you understand you don't know, it's involved as example the postage or the post office or the UPS, the delivery. So you're giving now a time which maximum, alright, so you say in 2 to 5 weeks. So the maximum will be the 5 weeks. This is acceptable. Okay? So if time is known, the time is known. وعن عبد الرحمن ابن أبدي ابن أبدي أبدي عبد الله بن أبي أوفى رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كنا نسوب المغانم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان يأتينا أنباط من أنباط الشام فنسلكهم في الحنطة والشعير والزبيب وفي رواية والزيت إلى أجل مسمى قيل أكان لهم زرع قال لا ما كنا نسألهم ذلك. This hadith in collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is authentic. And Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that we used to go with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battlefield, and we used to get our portion of the booty, okay, and used to be people come from Damascus, those people, the Ambas, okay, and we would pay them in advance to get it for wheat, barley, and rosin. In another version, oil, like olive oil and whatever other oil that comes. So, the big question of these people, they have a standing crop. They replied, we were not asking them about that. Okay, so what this means? So now a person wins from the battle a horse or a sword. So now those people, they come from Damascus, and the people used to pay them. Like, I'm giving you this sword, okay, and then you're going to give me wheat, or you're going to give me olive oil, 2 kilo or 2 measurements of oil. So now the question here, for those people, they have a, standard income or a standard cultivation or something like this. We don't use to ask them because now this doesn't matter if they have a regular or no, because this is something that the person is in charge. You are not asking him that it has to be from your field, okay? If you go buy it from somebody else, if you get it from another land, so it's not something applying to what they own themselves. But you agree with them, I'm giving you this sword in condition, okay, or I'm buying and selling you this sword that you're giving me next year baskets, okay? What the rice comes in a bag. Yeah, 2 bags of rice. Okay? So it doesn't matter now if this rice is his or whosoever who grows the rice. This is not related to what he have, what he don't have, but he accepts the condition of buying the sword, taking the sword in advance to pay with it what the wheat of 2 measurements or 3 measurements or whatever it is. Hadith number 700. So all this shows us that the payment can be given in advance, and but it has to be the condition that to be known when and what. Where this is not involved here, okay? Where does not have, is it going to be in Colombia, is it going to be on the same, all the things. But that you have to know, you're going to come and bring it, and is it going to be olives, is it going to be wheat, is it going to be corn, what it is that you're giving me of me paying you this. Hadith number 721. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أخذ أموال الناس يريد أداءها أدى الله عنه ومن أخذها يريد إتلافها أتلفه الله تعالى رواه البخاري حديث reported by أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه يلا ببليز بهم حديث in the collection of الإمام البخاري رحمة الله عليه that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever takes the money or the property of the people and with intention to return back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay back for him. That means if the person takes the property of the people with intention, that means he borrow it. Because this was the chapter talking about, the loan. The chapter number 5 talking about payment in advance and a loan also. So whosoever borrow the property of the people, if it's transportation, if it's cash, if it's whatever it is that he borrow it, okay? With intention to return it back to them. I borrow $10, in my intention to return the money. I borrow a car, okay, to return the car. So whatever that I'm taking from the person with the intention, and you notice here it say a net. He didn't say even Muslims, okay? the general, because the property of the Muslim or non-Muslim is still a property. You are not supposed to take it without any lawful cause. Okay. So he says that whosoever takes the property of others or borrow it and he has the intention to return it back to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay back in his behalf. That means Allah will enable him and expect him to fulfill this intention. And whosoever takes the property of the people or the money or whatever it is, with intention not to return it, to destroy it, to spoil it, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause him destruction as a result of his intention. So this shows us that your intention is very important. And your intention will be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping you to do the good deed. So if your intention is good, Allah will enable you to do the good. If your intention is bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you according your intention and you will be punished as a result of this intention. And this is not the opposite. It discourages us as Muslims that we are not supposed to do this. That whenever we take the property of a Muslim or even the people in general, that we have to have the proper intention to return it back. And you have a term among some Muslims which is very bad. You say, what about you lend me $10? Lend me $10 does not mean, it doesn't mean the term lend me. Okay? You have $10 that can borrow. It doesn't mean borrow, it just means borrow that you. Okay? But this is the expression and instead of saying, give me or that he's begging you. And this $10, when you give it to him, he actually understands, he has to say goodbye to it. That means I'm not going to see it again. And I can tell you personally, understand, I dealt with a lot of Muslims with the same terminology. Lend me. Or can I borrow, you see? Can I borrow this? And like somebody say, can I borrow, what do you mean by borrow, you understand? I mean you have $10, also you mean, you want $10, you don't need to borrow $10. You say, yeah, but see, okay. So this is wrong, and people have to be specific about what they mean, to say what they mean, and to say what they mean, and mean what they say, okay? And not to say a term which can be deceivable to the person. Tell him, lend me, which means in your mind something else, okay? So if a person takes something from the mosque or from the people, with intention not returning back, he's not going to be able to cause his intention, and Allah is not going to help him to return it back, and as a result of this will be a destruction for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet said, أَتْلَفَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that Allah, the Most High, will destroy him. What this word will squander him?
Yes, squander.
Squandering, I don't know what he, but the way between Allah will spoil him. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت يا رسول الله this hadith number 722 I was not able to classify this hadith to see the authenticity of this hadith. I just heard of searching for it. I'm going to leave it. But if the hadith is correct, I say if it's correct and if it's authentic or if it's hasan, it shows the permissibility by faith in paying later, okay? But as I said, I don't know how authentic the hadith, so I'm going to leave it. Maybe by next class, if I found, I'll tell you more in details about it. And also, as I said, if this hadith is authentic, it shows you the permissibility of dealing with the kuffar. Okay, that you can have transactions with them, you can buy and sell. For the kuffar, doesn't matter, as long as the product is halal, you are not, what you call, allow only to buy and sell from Muslims. This is not in an Islam, okay? Life has to go, and there is not anything to make to say that you have to buy only from Muslims or that you have to sell only from Muslims. And if the hadith authentic, as I said, it shows the permissibility of buying something to pay later, because the thobe and the garment is not from the six items that we said that deal with jewelry. And shows also hadith the patience and the kindness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go to hadith number 723, page number 300. Page number 300. حديث نمبر 723 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الظهر يركب بنطفته إذا كان مرهونا ولبن الضر يشرب بنطفته إذا كان مرهونا وعلى الذي يركب ويشرب النفقة رواه البخاري. حديث reported by أبو هريرة may Allah be pleased with him, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said an animal may be a rajin for spending on it when it is in rahim. Was it the word black? I really don't want to use it well, because I don't know how this in English, but what is supposed to be to give some property or some of your belongings to as a credit or as a security for whatever that you borrow. As example, I may give you my watch, and you will keep the watch with you as a result of borrowing $10 from you. So now the watch with you, in case I didn't bring the $10 back, you can sell it and get your money out of this by selling the watch. Okay? So what the watch now, we call it rah. Okay? Exactly. Okay, flat. But the word that he using here, which is large, I don't feel it, and I'm not too secure with it. And the merit of a camel may be drunk for spending on it when in rahim. And the responsibility of caring for it is upon the one who rides it and brings it milk. Okay. So, now, I borrow money from you. So I give you my cow to keep it. The cow is going to be, have to continue my life, it has to eat. Okay? So as a result of the spending to feed this cow, now Islam permits you to ride it. Okay? And also, the camel, you can milk it and drink this milk. But we are not drinking the milk or riding the animal as a result of borrowing. Because the basic idea of Islam, any loan that brings more, okay, this called a usury, an interest. When you give a loan, you get the loan back, the same. So if you're giving me a cow, I owe you a cow. You see, but now I'm drinking milk out of the cow. But if I'm not paying this money to feed the cow, I could not be drinking this milk. Otherwise, I'm getting a benefit of giving you a loan. And this is what you call usury or interest. And this would be haram. But in this case, you're riding the camel or the cow, you're drinking the milk or the buffalo or the cow, whatever it is, only because what you're spending on this animal. And also, you are responsible to care. Okay? You are responsible to care for the animal while still in your position until I return the money back to you. Yes. The hadith is authentic. Yes. Yes, Ibrahim is something. Yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran that, okay, فَرِهَانُ الْمَقْبُوبَ, that you gave is something tangible, or that something that you can hold in case the person does not. And you have the right to ask the person. If the person does not have anything, okay, it's up to you. You are not obligated. Islam encourages you to do so, but Islam doesn't demand that you have to give a loan. But if you give a loan, you are not supposed to be taking any more than what you give. So if you're giving a person $100, you can ask them to keep something in with you. They can give you the bracelet, the earring, the watch, whatever it is. That when they bring this $100 back, you give them their bracelet back. If you did not bring it back, now you have the right, after the time elapsed, that you can sell it and get your money back. And to some people, the brain trick, and I won't make you aware about it, because somebody plays with me, and not because I'm cruel, but I did it because I know that the person is in need, and I know that he can play the game. And I'm letting you know about it, so nobody gains respect in you. But since the money is not mine, and I said this is a sadaqah, if you bring it, alhamdulillah, if not, this between him and Allah, and there's not anybody specifically property. The person gave me the title to his car. But you know, this, what you call, collateral. But I know that you can go to the highway department and you get another one. The same thing when you lose your title, you can go or what you need to pay $5 and get another title. Okay? Later on, the person never show up and they get to know that he's driving another car and he sold this other car that he has and that's still until today having this title. So it's something like a game. So you shouldn't be deceived, and you have to be careful. If you are a person that barely can make it, but you want to help your Muslim brother, and same time you don't want people to be playing games with you, take something that you know that you can utilize it. Okay? And there's nothing wrong that you ask him that you need for him to get you something. If I don't have anything, you go and ask your wife to get her bracelet, her earring, whatever that she has that she can keep it with you. Okay? The next hadith was hadith number 724. The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. Next hadith, hadith number 725. وعن أبي رافع رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استسلك من رجل ذكرى فقدمت عليه إبل من إبل السلقة فأمر أبا رافع أن يقضي الرجل ذكرى فقال لا أجد إلا خيارا رباعيا قال فأعطيه إياه فإن خيار الناس أحسنهم قضاء. Here it shows حديث وشيرتوت الضاري أبو رافع يلا بجيب الهم ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هدبره إيجان كامل from إيمان and when some صدقة كامل came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered أبو رافع which means as his representative or the person who's in charge of the صدقة he ordered him to tell the man back to give him a young camel like what he had borrowed from him before. But Abu Rafi' could not find among the sadaqa camels that fit a camel which is over 7 years old. Okay? So he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was not supposed to be instructed to do something and he did not find it. So he went back to the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, give it to him for the best person is he who is in charge to this in the best manner. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, the hadith is authentic. Something very important here, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ, he brought what? A young camel. But this what the Prophet planned to return, and this what is the man accepting or expecting to get back. Now when the time came and the sadaqa was available to pay the man, and this was the Prophet about to do, the thing is not available to give him anything of what he took from him. And now in this case, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him something better than what he took from him. So the rule that you could not lend and get something more or better, right? You lend me $10, I give you $10, not $10 and 5 cents, regardless if it's from a bank or from individual. Okay? But as long as the giver and the receiver has no intention for more, and that was not available in the time of paying the same, it is permissible that he gives, and this is will be acceptable in Islam. But you could not make a condition in the beginning when you borrow that you have to give me more. Otherwise, now what? We're going dealing with riba and usury. حديث نمبر 726 جيج نمبر 301 وعن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أرض جر منفعة فهو ربا رواه الحارث بن أبي أسامة bear with me here for a minute. I doubt in the hadith. I have to go back and make sure that I didn't. The hadith is weak, although the meaning of it the hadith is weak. And from other hadith, we say that the meaning of this hadith is correct, alright? But still, the narration or the chain of the hadith is weak, and did the show get any benefit comes as a result of alone his interest in usury. And some of the righteous people from the Salaf, when they used to give a loan to somebody, he would refuse even to sit beside his house. You know why? Because beside his house would be a shade area. As a result of having a wall and there is a shade, so he will feel that by sitting there, he's getting some kind of benefit of this man that he had lent him money. Even the shade. They used to be so scared of interest and usury. To such a degree, if he lent a man a money, and it's so funny, and his no place will show except the house of this man, he's not going to go and sit there beside the house. Outside. Outside the house, under the shade of his wall. And this because he's so scared out of the sin of dealing with usury. Inshallah we what can we how far can you think how much you can go? Four or five minutes? Okay, inshallah we stop here with Bab al-Taklif والحج bankruptcy and inshallah next week we start with hadith number 727 in page number 301 which is going to be our ninth class concerning business and transaction from the book Bulugh al-Maram. Again, our class every Tuesday at 7 o'clock and inshallah it has about two to three classes more concerning different things related to business and transaction. And inshallah we have yes, okay, as example, I bought $100 from you, and I give you my watch, okay? And that in a month's time, I'm supposed to give you your $100 back, and you give me my watch back. Is this what you're asking? So now it's 5 weeks, and I didn't bring the $100. It's up to you to be patient or to auction this watch. Yeah, it is your right. It is your right, okay? We agree about the time. Although that Islam encourages us that we be kind to each other, be patient towards one another, and try to give a break to each other concerning the thing. So there is, no. You could not do, oh, you mean for the watch? No, you only take the principal. You will take $100 and the rest of the money will go to the owner of the watch. Okay? Other than this, still Islam encourages us that we be good to each other break. So if the person that who the possessor of the watch is not in desperate need for the money, he should give the person another extension if he can. And inshallah we'll come in a chapter concerning what bankruptcy and things like this, what to do with this, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nubdi.